Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What dark deeds unfold on the streets of Arkham? And which unwitting souls, innocent or impure, will succumb to the maddening call? The Call of Cthulhu.
Experience the unknowable horror and black comedy of Nerdy Show's Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program, an RPG audio drama. Find it at CthulhuMystery.com or wherever you procure fine podcasts.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by a comic shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom. From comics and video games to science and technology, if it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
I'm Boar.
I'm Crystal.
This is Laval.
Hey, I'm Doug.
And this is a Nerdy Show microsode. That's where we talk about what you want us to talk about for 15 minutes or more. And in this case, it's actually a very unusual circumstance. We're going to be doing two microsodes, which are, well, the traditional microsode length show, and then also there's feature-length film commentary, because two different fans wrote in and asked us to cover two movies that we had not seen at all, so obviously we had to watch them to even talk about them, so why not also do a commentary? In this case, the film we're watching is called Food Fight, and this topic comes to us from Hoodoo Voodoo. He says, if you would, do me the favor of a microsode on this debacle. I would be honored.
I wasn't told we were going to be watching a debacle.
Honored and sorry. This movie has the dubious honor of containing my favorite Christopher Lloyd role, bar none.
Oh, well, Christopher Lloyd's involved, so I'm back in.
So, you can download just the microsode episode if you've already seen the films and you don't want to go through the hassle of syncing up things and all that. This is the microsode component. And then also released this same day on this same feed is an optional movie commentary. Listen to it, don't, whatever. But we're going to have our pre-film watching conversation here and also our post-film watching conversation here. Now, this movie came out in 2013, but it was announced in 2000 as the next generation Pixar. It had release dates in 2002, 2005, 2006, and 2007 before finally being released direct-to-DVD in 2013 and had a budget of $65 million.
Is that the final budget or was that like its starting budget?
I believe the final budget.
Wow.
It's got Charlie Sheen in it, Hilary Duff, Christopher Lloyd, as we mentioned, Eva Longoria, Wayne Brady, Chris Kattan, Ed Asner, Jerry Stiller, among others.
I didn't realize any of these people were in Sausage Party.
And yes, Food Fight is a CGI animated film, just like Sausage Party, and maybe has some shared history. I don't know. Has anybody seen Sausage Party?
No.
Well, we won't be able to compare and contrast that one. But this movie's production history is just completely marred, and I'm under the impression that what we're about to watch is a bastard of cinema. Everyone's talked about it since it came out, about how horrible it is, for a bunch of reasons. So we'll go into some of them. I think, like, reading through some of the trivia on this movie, I feel like it might actually be improved to kind of know some aspect of the production before we watch it. So in this case, this is about brand name foods coming to life at night and fighting generic brands of food. I don't know if that doesn't sound like Sausage Party exactly, but maybe close.
So the name brand foods are the good guys?
Uh-huh.
And the generic brands are the bad guys?
Yeah.
Oh.
Wow. Yay.
Illuminati kind of level of plot, huh?
It took 2 years of negotiating to get these 80 food industry mascots to appear in this movie and how they would appear. According to a New York Times article, brand managers at Georgia-Pacific allowed that the brawny man could hang out with Mr. Clean, but the Angel Soft Baby was off limits.
What?
Why?
Well, the Angel Soft Baby is sacred. Everybody knows that.
They had opinions about this.
Is Snuggle Bear in this?
Maybe. There's 80 mascots. I couldn't even name you that many.
If there were 80s mascots, then Snuggle Bear would definitely be in there.
I feel like if there's no Snuggle Bear, I'm just going to walk out.
Okay, so I kind of have a rough idea of who's in it, but who does everybody else think might be in this? Just to name mascots.
Count Chocula.
Charlie Tuna.
Green Giant.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, Mr. Clean's supposed to be in it, I think.
Right?
Yeah, Mr. Clean, the brawny man, we already know are in this movie, okay. I think.
Man, Sprout? If I mean, if there's...
Oh man,
right? Scrubbing yeah, Bubbles?
Are they going to have Chester Cheetah?
Oh, Chester Cheetah.
See, maybe this movie is a good idea. You guys are excited now.
I'm kind of into this, yeah.
Dude, Chester Cheetah meets Cool Spot.
Whoa.
That's the crossover platforming video game I always wanted and never knew.
Two-player buddy co-op, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Are they going to go to Mountain Dew?
Oh, God.
I think we may have just written...
Something better?
Yeah, something better than what happens
here.
No,
we're not starting another Lightning Dogs here.
No.
Yeah, just keep moving.
Well, so this is put out by Threshold Entertainment, and they're an IP hub that has had handle on Duke Nukem. They did Lego pre-2012 in terms of animation, and they had their hand in the Star Trek attractions at Las Vegas.
That don't exist anymore.
Yeah, they used to exist. And it's helmed by producer, director, entrepreneur, and downright visionary, a guy named Larry Kazanoff. He was one of the producers of True Lies.
Yes.
He was a huge controlling force behind all of Mortal Kombat, the movies, the television series, and the games to some degree. I'm not really sure to what degree.
Somebody
the games.
Goes on in length about their animality in this movie.
Yeah, but they were all bad.
Now, Kazanoff assumed that the film was going to be a huge success with marketing tie-ins that would like extend across all grocery aisles, every single one. I don't know if the New York Times was exaggerating, but they actually suggested the possibility of even an ice skating show. And Kazanoff famously said of this project, "For us, this is Casablanca."
Oh my God. Wait, was there a Casablanca ice skating show?
You know, John, probably.
Did they just say that because the dog that Charlie Sheen plays wears a hat like Rick wears a hat only like in two scenes in Casablanca?
I don't know. We'll find out. They actually had a little bit of pioneering technology to go with this as well. They worked with IBM to broker a deal for offsite computing before cloud computing was a thing.
Hmm.
But as far as the troubled history and the horror of what we're going to see in terms of animation, this literal filmic abortion that we're about to witness here, it was at first going to be Looney Tunes style, but in 3D animation. But then a portion of the film was reportedly stolen from Threshold's offices in 2002.
How?
Why?
Well,
stolen with finger quotes.
Yes, yeah, stolen with finger quotes. No one's really sure, but it's highly suspected that there's foul play afoot somewhere. Production halted and then restarted in 2004 after a complete conceptual overhaul where Kazanoff, who directed this film, though he'd never directed animation before, decided that he wanted to direct it like a live action movie to allow for retakes, mocap, and spontaneity. And I was reading this, I was thinking, well, he's friends with James Cameron, or at least he was. And I'm wondering if back in, you know, the early 2000s, he knew what James Cameron like wanted to do for what would become Avatar and thought, I can do that.
Maybe.
Well, I mean, according to Cameron, right, Avatar was in development since like the early 2000s, right?
Yeah. So it's entirely possible. He must have known what Cameron wanted to do, but he wanted to do it first. And he did it poorly. The mocap had this insane limitation on it. They had a company called House of Movies that was doing the general body mocap, but they partnered with a company called Image Metrics, who had a software designed to sync animation to a voice actor's film performance. But the caveat was that performers had to stare straight ahead and keep still.
Oh my God.
So as a result, the animators had to come in and take these stiff, unnatural mocap performances and then make them more animated, which makes
defeats the entire purpose.
Yeah, apparently made it even more horrifying.
Instead of being like, to us, it's Casablanca, he should have just said, to us, this is the Abyss, or like some other thing.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah, like, something more achievable.
Yeah. Or just even more like, oh, it's groundbreaking, but also Jim Cameron's going to like it.
You know? Right.
So here's the final factoid before we actually watch the film. After missing the 2007 release date, investors invoked a clause that gave the insurance company the right to step in and complete the film as quickly and cheaply as possible.
Yeah.
I just finished this thing.
Yeah. This is exactly what happened to The Thief and the Cobbler. The difference is The Thief and the Cobbler was a masterpiece that was bastardized, and this film could never, ever, under any circumstances, have been a masterpiece.
Did it maybe improve it a little bit? someone else step in and do it cheap?
I believe that there's actually a chance that it might have actually, in terms of bad art, wow. It made the art a lot worse, at least so I've been told. So then it was shelved until 2012 until they could finally get all the copyrights together under one house. Plush toys and books actually got released in limited quantities even several years prior to the release, and then it came out on DVD. So without further ado, let's watch
Food Fight.
Yeah.
So we've just watched Food Fight. It was one of the most excruciating and terrible filmic experiences I've ever had.
Did we watch it or did it watch us?
It tortured us.
It's actually a vampire that siphons off of people's
essence.
Yeah, just essence. Let's go with that. Yeah,
and then it like makes a detergent with it or something, and then it has a robot.
Yeah.
So, what were some of your favorite moments of this terrible collection of interlocking scenes?
My favorite part was definitely at the end when you finally paused it.
Yes. The one line I think we all did like was, "Enough about me, let's kill you."
Yeah. That was actually the best line. It's kind of a waste of a good line, although at least nobody saw this movie, so
we can use it somewhere else in the world.
You know, we can put that in our pocket.
And the design for the mosquito drones when they weren't flying around was actually kind of all right. But Jesus Christ, the animation was bad. And Hoota Voodoo's right. I mean, it's a hell of a performance by Christopher Lloyd for what little he's in the film.
And I don't know. I mean, it's just Christopher Lloyd doing Christopher Lloyd voice.
He's mostly just moaning. He's
doing like an extreme Christopher Lloyd. Like if Christopher Lloyd played Edgar from Men in Black.
There was a heavy Edgar vibe. It's like, more sugar. Sugar.
In water. More sugar. No, that's too much water.
No, but
Edgar,
definitely...
your skin is hanging off your bones.
is that better?
It's probably that entire scene is literally better than this.
Well, of course,
that scene's great.
That's the greatest thing Vincent D'Onofrio ever did.
Yeah,
but if that scene could be an hour and 30 minutes, I would still rather watch that scene for an hour and 30 minutes.
True,
and
it felt like forever.
This movie was going on forever.
I thought this movie was like 5 minutes from ending. And then 10 minutes later, I asked Cap to check the time. Like,
it was
insane.
Still going.
It was an hour and 9 minutes.
I was like, that's impossible.
Yeah, but now we know, like, if you ever need to slow down time, just put on Food Fight.
No shit.
Start paying attention.
Yeah, if a doctor's
you'll really stretch out whatever time span you need
to. If a doctor tells you have an hour and a half to live, put this movie on.
Watch this will make
it feel like
a
goddamn eternity.
It'll feel like 3 days.
Yeah.
You won't die as long as the film doesn't finish.
A common criticism of the movie is the sexual humor, which there's a lot of. It's just one of those classic, like, who did they make this movie for kind of scripts.
I wouldn't even call it sexual humor as much as just weird sex stuff.
Right, because there's no humor in this film, actually. There's things that might be considered, it's like an alien attempting to interpret. Maybe, okay, so IBM was involved in the production of this film.
Did a computer make this movie?
Yeah, maybe this is early.
It was an early Watson.
They used the cloud. They what was the technology?
Like Sunspring?
The cloud didn't exist yet, so all it did was it just gathered. That's the perfect explanation. It connected to the internet. It searched all the brands. And then like later, they're like IBM on a dot matrix printer printed out all the brands it wanted, and they took that around and said, okay, what can we get approval for? And then when Brawny Paper Towel said no, they had to tell the computer, okay, replace that with something that looks like a lumberjack. And that's exactly what happened.
Oh, my God.
We figured it out.
And it would call the actors over the phone and prompt them to say,
if you want to see your family again, say this line.
Or like, there's a great sequence in the Chipmunk Adventure where the chipmunks splice Dave together so they can trick the nanny into babysitting. I think that's how it went. Or maybe it was the opposite way around. It's been a while since I've seen the film. But like, they basically did that. That's how they got Jerry Stiller's recording. That's why all of a sudden the audio turns into phone quality audio.
No, I'm telling you, man, that was done in a Holiday Inn Express bathroom. Because it was the only thing they could afford after blowing their $16 million.
$65
million.
There you go.
$16
million. I just can't believe $65 million.
They used it all on the mosquito drone thingies.
But could you imagine somebody had to sit and watch this film in front of the investors, and then they had to say, yeah, that's where your $65 million went. How you, as a human being, how do you justify such an atrocity?
Yeah, no idea.
Does the $65 million include the first half that was stolen?
Well, to be fair, that first half that was stolen was actually money that was put into cocaine for Charlie Sheen.
I believe
that. I'm just saying.
And think about an interesting thing is, like, Charlie Sheen, when he recorded the audio track for this film, was not Charlie Sheen by the time this film came out.
Yeah.
Which is fascinating.
Did Two and a Half Men even get started before
it? It probably wasn't even on the air yet. Yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Wait, what are you talking about?
He was still Hot Shots Part Two.
Yeah, I was going to say Hot Charlie Shots would have been out back then.
But he wasn't the crazy Charlie Sheen we know.
He wasn't Charlie Sheen as we know him today.
Like the drug-addled Charlie Sheen. Yeah, Tiger Blood. Yeah. I would never under any circumstances recommend this film. Maybe on YouTube there's a really good edit of just the worst parts of this, and it lasts like 5 minutes. That might be doable, but in its feature-length presentation, hell no.
It's got to have some great YouTube poop, that's for sure.
Oh, I should hope so.
I have seen better, like, machinima videos that were based on a child's fan fiction.
Yeah.
Watching those weird compiled things meant to entertain children on YouTube of, like, the Scream Killer and Venom versus the Joker, like, sharing colors and numbers is...
Getting pregnant?
Yeah. Most of those videos are about as long as this movie is, and they're significantly more entertaining and artful than anything that happened here.
But this movie's old, mind you. YouTube didn't exist when this first came out.
When this was first in development.
What I had in my mind was Half-Life, Full-Life Consequences. Yeah. Have you ever seen that?
Oh, yes.
That's a masterpiece compared to this.
Yeah. And can you imagine if they'd given the kid who wrote Full-Life Consequences $65 million?
I don't know. You keep saying $65 million, but like...
Where does it go?
What if this whole thing was a front just to build Watson?
You heard it here first. This is the conspiracy theory breakdown. This is where Watson comes from.
Or it was very elaborate money laundering.
I don't know, man. Like, what if in the future somebody tries to stop Watson, much like Sarah Connor's trying to stop Skynet, and the only way to prevent her
subliminally put it in this film.
Right. Like, maybe certain frames have, like, hidden messages, and, like, that's how they protect Watson.
So this guy worked with James Cameron. Did he work on the Terminator movies?
Oh my God. James Cameron is known for his AI obsession, right?
He has some kind of credit on Terminator 2, yeah.
Oh my God. That's why he created Terminator?
He was in craft services, which is why he knew the brands.
Like, weirdly, him and the corporation that made this movie, they're tied to successful things still, such as it is. But, like, my God, Food Fight.
The money laundering thing may not be too much of a stretch. Because if it's like the producers, where it's like, we're going to make the worst movie ever, and we won't have to give any money back because it'll go straight to DVD.
Well, what got me thinking of that was when Cap was talking earlier about how the film got, like, part
stolen.
Of it got stolen.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, who the fuck would steal a movie that
was
you didn't
it insured?
Even know
Were they collecting insurance money?
Must be something like that.
It's genius.
It was actually Time Travelers. Went back in time
to try and stop the film from happening, and instead it got worse.
They wanted to close the loop, but they just ended up causing the loop.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So,
like when Kyle Reese knocks up Sarah Connor.
Right, exactly like that.
Oh my God. This goes all the way to the top, to IBM.
And to Hostess.
So, thanks, Hoodoo Voodoo, maybe? And thank you for listening to this. Nerdy Show and the entire Nerdy Show network is entirely listener-supported. And sometimes when you support us, horrible things like this can happen. So please do consider supporting us at Patreon, patreon.com/nerdyshow, or go to nerdyshow.com/support, where you can find out how to shop through Amazon to give us money or give us a one-time donation. You can also rate and review this episode on Podchaser, and you can rate and review this show on iTunes. In a couple weeks, we're going to be back with another film review, which might be better. I'm not sure. It's for Dracula Untold. And we're actually going to record that right now. I don't know how we can possibly sustain our interest after this.
I think Dracula Untold is going to unfairly seem much better because we just watched this. Like, on a regular day, we'd be like, that was kind of crappy. But now we're going to be like, oh my gosh, that was underrated.
Anyway, thank you so much for joining us for this terrible experience. We'll see you next time.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.